Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled New Beginnings. Thank you to Don and Dave for being involved. The scripture reading is Isaiah 42, 1-9, and I'll read it following the opening prayer.
Good morning. Welcome. It's good to see you on a warmish morning. I have a few announcements this morning. We'd like to wish Glynis a happy birthday. I am in need, from a scheduling perspective, of people who are interested in presenting communion thoughts or doing what I'm doing right now, announcements and prayers and readings and that sort of thing. So please, if you only want to do it once would be awesome. So you are very welcome to do that, and please speak to me about that. Community Care's annual food drive is coming up on the 18th, and they are in need of drivers and other kinds of volunteers for that. So please get in touch with them through their website and be involved in that. We have a number of prayer requests that we are aware of. So thank you to those who have been praying for Lynn's cousin. She is on the mend, or on the improvement anyway. So please do keep on praying for her. Those prayers are much appreciated. We've also heard from one of the churches in India who is involved, who kind of joins us virtually, that one of their brothers has passed away of pneumonia and complications. So please pray for his loved ones. He doesn't have much family, so his doesn't have much biological family. He has a large church family, so please keep them in your prayers. And similarly, Doreen Ellis, who many of us know, passed away late last night. She had moved into palliative care late last week, and she passed away last night. So please pray for Jeff and for their family. So let's go to God now. Lord, we glory in your presence. Lord, we are so blessed to be your children, your family, to come to you whenever we want, here or at home or just on the street, wherever we want to be, you are there. And we are so grateful to have this direct route to you. Lord, we pray for those who are grieving right now. We pray for the loved ones and family of Doreen and of Nath, that they would be comforted by your presence and by each other, and that they would remember those who have gone as they were at their best, and that they would keep those fond memories and remember their faithfulness to you. Lord, we ask as we go into a new season of school and people going back to work, and as we prepare to welcome our students back, we ask for patience and wisdom in what we are about to embark on. And we thank you for giving us your guidance and steering us into the unknown. Lord, as we are joining together with your church all around the world this morning, we pray for unity. We pray for joining together to show you into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Isaiah 42, 1-9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you.
Way back when I was 6 years old, my much older sister gave birth to a little girl, and that little girl was one of my favorite people, was then and is now. Well, she grew up, and she works as an administrator at McMaster University Hospital, and her name is Jen Taylor, and she won the Royal College of Physician and Surgeons of Canada Program Administrator of the Year, which is an amazing award because she had to beat out several hundred other people in Canada to get that award. And the people who gave her that award, they don't even know what she does for her family, for her church family, and for her community. So I think that it's amazing that she got that award without them even knowing all the other things she does. So anyway, I'm rather proud of her. And she told me this way back the 1st of July, and I've had to keep it under my hat. And now I don't, so I wanted to be the one to say. So anyway, let's congratulate them. From the back. Thank you, folks.
Greetings to all. Thank you for being with us today, wherever you are in this world. Appropriate song. I want to talk about new things. And I really don't want to talk about new things. I want the Bible to talk to us about new things. So it's going to be a little different today in my sermon. I'm going to be letting the Bible preach to us with this particular theme. It's interesting to me, and these are just a couple of thoughts before we just let the Bible preach to us. But the Bible itself begins with "in the beginning," and then it continues, and it never stops. When you get to the last book of the Bible in Revelation, it doesn't conclude. It continues. It is an ongoing new beginnings. The Bible begins with new beginnings, and it never stops. Just like you and I. Take a look, if you want to, in the mirror, and then look at your baby picture. A lot of changes take place in our lives every year. And yet, we are understood through God's word that new beginnings will happen to each and every one of us. Even though we have an Old Testament, it speaks of new things coming. It speaks of new beginnings. And even though we have a New Testament, it speaks of new things coming and new things that we will experience. We just want to listen to what God says about this. In the beginning, God created, and he has never stopped. The psalmist says this: "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, and out of the mire. And he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." Then he says, "And God put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God." Hear the word of the Lord. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry or shout out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. And then he says, see, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring to being, I announce them to you. This is very much a messianic scripture, some 800 years before Jesus comes into the world, Isaiah is already talking about him. New things. And then in chapter 43 of Isaiah 18 and 9, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing! Exclamation point. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. New beginnings. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6. Is it too small a thing for you to be my servant? To restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation will reach the ends of all the earth. New beginnings. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. What grabbed me this week as I was looking at these scriptures is that it's God preaching today. It's not me. I'm just reading what God said. So you have multiple preachers today. I'm just saying something that Isaiah said. And I'm going to say some things that Jeremiah said. And I'm going to say some things that Jesus said. And I'm going to say some things that Peter said. And they said it all for us. And the next generation. And the next generation. That new things are shining forth. So I love 62 of Isaiah. For Zion's sake, God's people, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Someone says, Don, you've already read that. Yeah, but I needed to read that about three times the first time I saw it, and the first time I read it. That something that was written some 700, 800 years before Jesus came to the earth was written about us too. The Old Testament is just one section before the New, and yet the Old and New share in their understanding of new things. And if there was ever a chapter in the Bible that talks about new things coming, it's found in Isaiah chapter 65. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth that will be coming. Listen to these profound words. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. And the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. there will come a time when sadness doesn't exist. I will rejoice over that. And then you have a lot of New Testament writers that read the Old Testament because they didn't have a New Testament. So John and Peter and Paul, they look back on these things and they would reiterate in different ways in the New Testament what Isaiah said, what Jeremiah said, what Nahum said. It's profound that we're part of all of this today. And so Paul, I think, was overwhelmed, even though he talks a lot about what we're talking about today. I think he was overwhelmed. And this is why I think he was overwhelmed, because he said this: it is God's intent to bring all things together, things in heaven and things on earth. And then Paul said it again in Colossians 1, to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth, becoming one. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death is no longer the enemy. And ultimately, because of the resurrection, there will be the renewal of all things, the restoration of all things, the redemption of all things, and the reconciliation of all things. The greatest event that ever took place in the history of mankind is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, you and I can be part of it. And if we can't get excited about that, I would say check your pulse. Isaiah chapter 66. As the new heavens and the new earth that I will make will endure before me, so will your name and descendants endure. The faithfulness that we pass from generation to generation to generation. Well, there are some unique stories in the Bible, and there are some unique books in the Bible. Jeremiah is a profound and lengthy book, but he talks about the future, talks about the times that are coming. In verse 27, he says, the days are coming. And he just kind of grabs our attention with all of that. And then he says, again, in verse 31, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I love this, I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know the Lord, from the least to them to the greatest. Now, maybe someone one day will see God for the very first time. And even though they may have declared many times previously, I don't believe in God, I think God will smile and say in return to that person who said, I don't believe in God, that God will say, I know, but I've always believed in you. The Old Testament reminds us that we're part of it all, and that new beginnings hasn't stopped. It'll continue to move forward. And so there are interesting books. The Book of Lamentations is not an easy book to read. It's a difficult book to read because of the horror that's happening to Jerusalem. But even in those very difficult times, in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24, talking about hope in God, the writer says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Wouldn't it be cool if every morning when we woke up, we remember that God's love and compassion flows in us because God gives himself to us every day. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I said to myself, the Lord is my portion, and I will wait for him. I will put my hope in him. And then another interesting book in the Old Testament. It's a interesting book. I would say read it when you have time. It's amazing. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. I will give God's people an undivided heart, and I will put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh, a feeling. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. And then also in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31, rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart. Get a new spirit. If it's not working, get it new. And you know when it's not working, and that's when we fall to our knees and we pray, God, I'm sorry that I've distanced myself from you, because you have never left me, even for one moment. The Old Testament is remarkable in so many ways. It's profound in so many ways. So again, Ezekiel in chapter 36, beginning in verse 26, says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And if God will do that back then, you know that God will do that even today. Well, those are Old Testament scriptures. Let's leave the old and move into the new. And again, just a reminder of the newness of God pouring himself out into our hearts every day. In the story, the Gospel of Luke talks about the story of Jesus and his disciples having communion. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture. Starting in verse 19 of Luke chapter 22, it says, And Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The old covenant is a reminder of God loving us. The new covenant is a reminder of God loving us, and that he's giving us a new heart. And throughout scripture, we're reminded of this. And throughout life, sometimes we go through some very challenging times. And we look back, we may not feel it at the time, and maybe we do feel it sometimes. God is with us in those challenging times. God is with us. Never, as is promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And again, if someone says, well, I don't believe in God, God believes in you. And his call for all of us comes through Jesus Christ. So when they take this communion, this cup representing the blood, this cup, it's the new promise. It's the new covenant in my blood. And it's poured out for you. I think that's pretty cool. 2,000 years later, the promise is still there. Well, Paul talks a lot about this, and in Romans chapter 6, and we know Romans chapter 6 pretty well, he's just kind of reminding the Christians of that day where he says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, listen to this, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, are you ready? We too may have a new life. So when you remember the scene of Jesus walking toward the cross, being crucified, and yet 3 days later, rising again, we're part of that story. New life then, and new life now, and new life in the future. It's quite remarkable. So Romans talks about this a lot in 2 Corinthians and other books too. I'll just read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14 through 17. For Christ's love compels us, but because we are convinced that one died for everyone. Therefore, all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for ourself. We shouldn't be living for ourselves, but for him who died and was raised again. And then in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Now, sometimes that old way of life wants to creep in. But Jesus reminds us, stay close to me. We're going to keep this newness going. I just think it's fascinating. Genesis, in the beginning, God created. Everything was new, and it's never stopped. And when we get to Revelation, it doesn't conclude. It just keeps going, that one day we will all be together again. So I love Corinthians for reminding us of all of this. And then a book that is a unique book in Galatians chapter 6, verses 14, 15. The book of Galatians was actually the first New Testament book that was written way before the Gospels. And so in Galatians chapter 6, Paul is saying to Jew and Gentile Christians who are struggling with customs and cultures and everything else, he wanted to bring together. How do you do all of that? So in Galatians chapter 6, 14 and 15, Paul, I think he talks very loudly when he says this, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, because neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. And then I think he takes a breath, and then a smile comes to his face. And he says to Jew and Gentile Christians alike, do you know what really counts? It's a new creation. A new creation on the inside and a new creation that God will create someday. It's remarkable, the scriptures that we have that we can read. And so Ephesians talks about putting off our old self. Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of our minds. And that's important. We keep thinking the thoughts of God. Or Colossians chapter 3 in verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. A reminder, new beginnings. God is always encouraging us to move forward. So in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, in verse 15, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them, us, free from the sins committed under the first covenant. And then in chapter 12 of Hebrews, 22 and 24, I love this passage. I wonder if you can picture yourself in it as I read it. But you, and I think God says our name, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that calls a better name. He doesn't say one day you're going to get there. He said, you've come to it. This is who you are. This is who surrounds you. This is the promise being fulfilled that we have every minute of every day, even when we're sleeping. All these promises of new beginnings and things that will come, but never forget what is happening in our life and that God is with us and sustains us every minute of the day. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Who knew that we were in the Bible? And he reminds us constantly through this. And then in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, in verse 8, and I'm getting to the close now. I've often thought of Peter, Jeremiah, Isaiah. It may be because there's pictures in old children's books. But they always picture these guys with long, flowing white hair, really, really old, sitting up in a cave maybe or behind a desk, pulling out a quill and writing these things. When I see Peter, I don't see that at all. I see Peter as somebody who said, I can't wait to tell people about Jesus. I made mistakes. But Jesus forgave all of those mistakes. And I can't wait to tell people more about him. That's what I think when he says this in 2 Peter 3. Don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with the roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy, godly lives as you look forward to the day and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, watch this, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. We're going to see this in just a moment, but I love the fact that God sees both heaven and earth as one, and that one day the marriage of heaven and earth will take place, and we will be part of it. It's remarkable. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Those who are victorious, I will make pillars in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. See, it's not that one day we go up. It's that one day he comes down and that we join together as one. New beginnings. In the beginning, Genesis 1. And in the end is not the end. It's just new beginnings. Revelation 21. Picture this as I read it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. Back then, sea was a dangerous place. There's no more danger. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them." God one day will walk with us and talk with us. It's the coming together as one. God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, a new heaven and new earth. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And listen to these words. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne says these words, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down." What I just said, write that down. Because those words are trustworthy and they're true. He said, "It's done. That's the promise. I'm going to keep it. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Let me conclude with something that's not written in the Bible, because I didn't preach today. The Bible preached to us today. But let me just conclude with words from a man I respect, N.T. Wright. Many of you know of N.T. Wright. And he says this, I think with a twinkle in his eye. He says, "Heaven is wonderful, but it's not the end of the world." What about life after death? You see, we are only a shadow of our future self. One day, each one of us will be made brand new. Thank you, God. Thank you, Bible. You preached a good sermon today.
Thank you, Don. I'm not sure where to begin. The new beginning. I think, in a sense, this table we're about to take is a new beginning every week. To reset. Reboot, recalculate, whatever terms you want to use. We need this. Why? Well, I'm going to use some scripture too. In Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Verse 31. What? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, let me add pandemic? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is what we need to begin each week with: the knowledge that the love of God in Jesus Christ is what we do to restore our spirit, revive us spiritually, if you will. And it's important because that love that God showed us through his son, Jesus, teaches us what love is. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. And on and on. Even in the little book of 2 John, John says, I'm not writing you a new commandment, but you've had this from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Love one another. That's not just this group. One another is everybody. As we remember the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, the love of God, let's pray. Lord, we are in awe of your presence that surrounds us each day. We're in awe of the love that you have shown to us. We ask we may be strengthened, encouraged, by what we're about to do, by taking these emblems, nourish our soul, strengthen our will, bless this bread and this cup, and may we strengthen our resolve to love one another. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's close our time together this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you refreshed from our time celebrating together, celebrating your gift of Jesus, and this time we can spend in one another's company, lifting our minds and our thoughts to you. God, we thank you for the healing that you have blessed Jenny with and Paul with. We ask as they continue to recover that you would strengthen them and those who are caring for them. As we move into our week, God, give us the strength to follow the guidance and the commands from Romans 12. Help us to love sincerely and hate what is evil, to cling to what is good, to be devoted to one another in love, and honoring each other above ourselves. Give us zeal, and keep our spiritual fervor so we can serve you. Give us joy and hope, patience in affliction, faith in prayer, and give us what we need to share with those who are in need and to practice hospitality. God, give us strength to bless those who are persecuting and not curse them. And always help us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and mourn with the mournful. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.